Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink a wine that was originally in the Wine Spectator Top 100, the Top 20 actually, by Bodegas Caro, their Amankaya Red Blend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm very happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here, too, tonight.
I'm happy for you to be here tonight.
You're happy for me to be here?
I'm happy for you to be here.
What?
Yeah.
You're happy for me to be here tonight?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. As opposed to tonight?
Tonight, tomorrow.
Tonight. Oh.
Won't be like any other night.
Are you going to make it right tonight?
Well.
Okay. On tonight's show, we have a wine that was in the top 100 of the Wine Spectator in 2022. Matter of fact, it was number 17, for Christ's sake.
No way.
17, Scott. 17. This is from a producer in Argentina, Bodegas Caro, C-A-R-O. Probably pronounced differently than what I just said, but I don't care. Fuck you.
But it's not from one of the top 10 wine producers in the world.
It's not.
Grupo Pinaflor.
Because it's actually from Domaine de Rothschild, is actually who's the producer of this wine.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly. That's who it's from. Well, the Rothschild family, who makes the French fame.
That's why it scored so high on the Wine Spectator.
It could be.
They might have some money in advertising.
This is their Amankaya. Their Bordeaux-style red blend from Mendoza in Argentina. It is 60% Cabernet, 40% Malbec, because, of course, it's from Argentina. Other vintages can vary from that. I think the 19 was more Malbec than it was Cabernet. It is predominantly on French oak and concrete, so a little bit of both, depending on, once again, the vintage. But truth be told, Scott, I ordered 3 bottles of this, right?
Oh.
So this is the first.
Okay.
If I like it, I'm ordering more. They have 7 bottles left of this vintage on wine.com. If I like it, I'm ordering more. If I don't, I'm not going to be happy. But that's okay. That's what we do.
That's 3 bottles.
But I'm excited yet concerned as to the quality of this wine. Overall, it could be a disappointment. We've had wines like this where we were like, wow, that absolutely is worth everything that we ever had. And we've had wines like this where we go, wow, that sucks a big dick. I pity anybody that bought a lot of it.
And Rob's on the fence.
Yeah. I mean, we've done that before. I mean, it's, you know.
Funny thing, off air, I hadn't filled my glass yet.
Yeah, no. You try to get more than me.
Filled it up, and he's like, hey, you got a bigger pour than me.
Yes, you did.
And I was
bastard,
setting the carafe far away from
yes.
him. No, give me that here. And then he proceeded to pour just enough so that he had more in his glass than
that's
I have in mine.
Exactly.
I've got more in my glass. Na, 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 na.
You don't have to be immature about it.
And then you wonder why Becky returned you to the kidnappers.
Well, that could be, yeah. They don't understand that reference, but it's okay. It's okay.
They will.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break.
If they continue listening, they will understand.
Well, they're going to understand a lot about you, too. And the wonderful, fabulous Mr. Ed.
Famous Mr.
That's not going to be good for you. Anyway, we'll take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks.
Off air, Rob studying Czechoslovakian rural artists.
That's interesting.
Who don't use any color palette whatsoever. They just...
It's all white?
Yep.
That's very exciting. It's very very sterile.
Have you been to Czechoslovakia?
Not recently. No. It's not on my to-do list. Go to Czechoslovakia. No. Scott loves Czechoslovakia.
They make a beer.
Scott loves Czechoslovakia. Oh, Pilsner Urquell. I love Pilsner Urquell.
They make
Pilsner Urquell is my favorite beer. No, Scott loves Czechoslovakia because of the fact that there are many people that if they disappear, they're not missed. Wait a minute. Now, that's why I like Czechoslovakia. I'm sorry.
That is why you like Czechoslovakia.
But Scott goes with me, so it's like, you know, it's like a bosom buddies, as they would say.
It's bosom buddies.
Scott dresses up like a lady. It's a little obvious. I'm like, Scott, they'll pick us out of a crowd. You look like a Czechoslovakian until you put on lipstick, then they all know who you are. It's like, can you identify the bad man that stole your brother? Yes. What did he look like?
Tom Hanks.
He had slick back hair and he had lipstick on. And then Scott's standing like a moron with his lips puckered. He's like the Wet Bandits from Home Alone. It's like, don't do that, Scott.
The Wet Bandits.
Yes. Kind of. You have a calling card. You wear lipstick when you do things. No other times does he wear lipstick, except for when he does. He commits crimes.
Crimes.
Yes.
Against society.
He calls himself the Lipstick Bandit. I'm like, Scott, we're not stealing things. Well, people. But that's okay. I was like, it's not the no. Don't do that. He's like, I have to have a calling card. No, you don't, Scott. Jesus. Amateur.
Anyway. Speaking of amateurs, why don't you talk about this wine?
I got off on a rant. I don't know why. Scott upsets me sometimes. Anyway. So, as we said, 50% of this wine is on French oak, the rest on concrete vats. Depending on the vintage, I do believe that doesn't change. 60% Cabernet, 40% Malbec. And then, it does have some reviews.
Yes, this is a Southern man. Thank you for letting me on the show tonight. I've heard a lot of miscreants talking about horses in a negative tone, and I would like to refute those things. I think that's quite disgusting what Scott said. Anyway, Robert Parker from The Wine Advocate, he gave it 91 of his points, and he wrote, there's more ripeness in the nose and flavors on the 2020 Amakanya. You build a wall and don't let those. It's not important.
Hey, easy.
Reflecting the warm and dry vintage. It has 14.5% alcohol and was produced with a blend of 60-40 Cab and Malbec, reversing the dominant grape to combine the fruit and freshness of Malbec with the power and complexity of Cabernet Sauvignon. 50% of the volume matured in oak barrels, while the other half was kept in concrete to keep the fruit-driven palate with a soft palate and round tannins. And then, the Wine Spectator. The Tater gave it 93 of their points.
That's
which
a lot
I'm
of
sure
points.
The Rothschild family had nothing to do.
Nothing.
Baron de Rothschild had nothing to do with that, folks. And this is a Baron de Rothschild product, in case you did not know
do
that.
Do you know who else this is a product of? Catena, the makers of Catena.
Which is owned by...
Well...
Yes. So, who knows where the money comes from? We're just going to say. Anyway, elegantly detailed aromas of violet, mace.
Mace?
Mace. M-A-C-E. Yeah,
mace.
I don't think I mean it that way, but crushed raspberry. Do people crush raspberry than smell it? Does it smell different than raspberry?
After you're maced, yes, it does.
Okay, pave a nice entry to this richly textured red, which shows fleshy plum and raspberry flavors mid-palate, lightened by an underpinning of minerality before toasted mocha notes and round tannins arrive on the finish. But then they also wrote, for the top 100, deep red color with intense ruby hues. Very fruity on the nose with black currant, strawberry, floral, and minty notes coming through, followed by aromas of cassis, graphite, and coffee bean. On the palate, the wine is balanced and pleasant, with texture and refined tannins. A fruity mid-palate leads to an elegant and long aftertaste. They learned more words when the top 100.
Could you have
number 17?
Three more distinctly separate reviews?
Yes, you could do that.
Could you?
The Decanter did not review this wine. They would have given it 132 of their points.
No, that's James Suckling.
No, that's the Decanter. James Suckling would have given it 137. We apologize because we have a dumbass dog making a whole bunch of fucking noise, and I'm going to kick that dog right now. Nothing more noisy than a bored puppy. Yes. It's Scott's fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah. You went there and got that dog with me.
You could have stopped me. Your friend asked you for help. You help him.
Well, you know, you got all that food at the Waffle House. That's what, you know, kind of swayed you.
The Waffle House sways no one. Well, maybe the Superstar, if he could find the Waffle House.
He turns the wrong way after the Waffle House.
He's had some episodes of directional challenges going to places in Canal, Winchester, and Lancaster.
It's difficult for him.
You remember one of the house Christmas parties where you were passed out on the couch and Steve got there eventually, left
at
7 o'clock and Steve, 10 o'clock he arrived.
Ironically, Steve will tie a string to where he's left and then follow it back. I mean, it's a lot of string that he uses, but he can't find it any other way. The man can't read a map. The man can't even understand GPS. He's functionally, what's the word I can't use anymore? But there's no, I mean, he is functional, but on a subsistence level.
On a subsistence level.
Maybe below that. I mean, the man, you're like, you have a job? Wow.
Directionally challenged.
It's like, damn, you must be like a savant in some area other than being able to do anything else. You have one function that you can do well, exceptionally maybe, but then everything else you fucking suck at. It's just like, wow. He can't even like poop in the toilet properly. He like misses it half the time. He sits down.
That's
because you shit your pants. I took my underwear off.
I'm old.
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, kind of, sort of.
I took my underwear off. It's like, I don't need to know these facts. You could have lied to me. Why didn't you lie to me?
I'm all about integrity.
I set fire to the house afterwards.
Oh, that's what the smell is.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah.
I think...
I'm used to vile things because I live with William, but, you know.
Poor Superstar. He got lost in the grocery store.
He had a perfectly, William one time had a perfectly round turd, and I know that because I walked in and he was sitting on the toilet, and he had it in his hand looking at it like a fucking snow globe. And
that had to be shaped.
It looked like a fucking snow globe.
Snow globe.
Well, it was round like a snow globe.
Okay.
It's like he gave birth to something and then like caught it and then was looking at his newborn child, but it was a big fucking turd. Then he put it back in the toilet.
In a previous episode, the Triple B came down and wanted to discuss something with Rob that we all decided was inappropriate for the air, yet Rob talks about snow globe.
Why
turds.
Did I just victimize myself by talking about that? I discard
you didn't
my
victimize yourself.
I block that shit out and then I bring it back into my mind. Oh fuck, he's the one that did it. And then you're like, oh Jesus, I can't get that out of my mind. Oh my God, I'm scarred for life. Then you're like, why did I bring that up? I repressed that memory. God.
You're anything but repressed.
That was really horrible.
Depressed, maybe.
Yeah. Then he's like, William just plays with his turds. It's like, well, yeah. I do not. But you do. I caught you looking at it like it was a snow globe. Like you'd accomplished something. It's like, look what I did, Dad.
I don't know. Maybe he was constipated. Maybe he did accomplish.
It really was the most impressive thing he probably has ever done. But still.
Oh, my Lord.
Anyway. The wine in the glass.
Amakai is a name of a local flower in the area where this is grown.
Thank you for providing that color.
Amakaya.
That's good. Amakaya.
It's a nice label. It's got like hand, like charcoaled sketch of the mountain range mm-hmm. with an amankaya plant in the foreground.
That is well done. I did not add as much well done things.
That's how you like your steaks.
No, that's more insulting than what I just said earlier.
There's nothing better to Rob Dern than an extra well done charcoal briquet filet.
Yeah, sure.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Crunchier the better.
Crunchy. I like a crunchy steak.
Crunchy filet.
Yes, that's right. On the nose.
It's very dark in the glass.
It is. It looks proper.
It looks
very extracted.
It looks beautiful, man.
No translucence.
It looks just gorgeous.
But Malbec. I mean, in Malbec, you expect darkness with Malbec.
It's got a shimmery, kind of oily texture across the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
If the wine is half the expression of the nose, it's going to be a big bastard, because that's a big nose.
Blackjack, licorice, blackberry.
As it should be. Both those things we would expect to be there.
Hmm.
What's the breakdown on this again? 70-30?
60-40.
60-40, okay.
Ooh, that nose is suggesting there's something that is dark and powerful about to hit you in the face.
Malbec, not my favorite varietal, because we've had so many mediocre bottles.
But we've also had some ones that made you stand up and go, hallelujah.
Yes, we've had some good ones too. But mm-hmm. overall, the meh has not been overcome by the hallelujahs.
You don't know. There we go.
Hmm.
Oof.
Hmm.
Oh, for sure.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oy vey.
Mind spectator kudos.
That is a definitely big time wine. By the way, this is $22 is what this costs. It's very, very rich, very concentrated.
We didn't really
very, very concentrated.
Yes, it's a big bastard. We didn't mm-hmm. really talk about the nose as much, but there's like some graphite on the nose.
A little bit, and it carries through on the palate.
And it carries through on the palate.
This tastes like, first impression, an extremely good, well done, big petite Syrah. That's the way it drinks right now.
Very fair, the varietal comp. Yeah, that graphite carries through, but there's also an astringency that is like making my teeth separate in my gums.
Yeah.
I mean, it is astringent as anything you can have. The finish is, it's not the deepest, biggest finish, but it's just a lingering finish. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit. Savory fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a hint of, it almost has a Dr. Pepper thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that prune?
It's something down that line, yeah. But it's in a good way, because sometimes prune can be a little bit unpleasant, for me anyway. But this is not unpleasant in any regard. And if I seem to be a little distracted,
there's that.
I'm ordering more right now.
He couldn't wait. He's no, got no
software. You sons of bitches. I mean, you could like hack in and.
It has this streak of minerality, the pencil of the graphite, that really. Rob, hit it again when you can pull yourself away from wine.com.
I ordered two more bottles, by the way.
I think the graphite presents itself on the front palate. I think it's got so much there that it's nearly immediate.
That's smooth. There's graphite, but there's also immense gobs of black fruits, tons of black fruits.
Yeah.
But, well, blackberry. There's plum, definitely. It's not prune because it doesn't go overripe.
No.
But there's also a bit of a borderline tar element to it in a good way. Just a little bit of an asphalt kind of beefiness to it. It just has a little more weight than just graphite. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, graphite, I agree. That's there, but there is more of an earthy...
That carries through on the finish where you're getting that astringency that makes your teeth want to fall out.
Yeah.
There's a texture about it that's along those lines. That tar, dark rubber, somewhere in there.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's definitely some sort of petroleum, but not... But yeah, I think rubber, vulcanized rubber.
Vulcanized rubber, maybe.
But the cleanest version I have ever seen.
Yeah, the dark fruit, plum, like... The sweeter fruit, the blackberry, I'm not... Okay.
No, it's not. But no. It's too tight yet. Yeah, it's there. There is blackberry. There's those things. But they're not... Like we had that E.D. Edmund, Don Edmund Cabernet, right? Those were visible, bright fruits, right? You could taste the juicy blackberry and all the sweetness. This is more restrained. It's really being held back by the weight of the wine. Now, in 5 years... Will that show maybe more? Yeah, I think so, possibly. But right now, it's under the weight of everything else. I mean, there's a great deal of structure and weight to this wine that really is pushing a lot of those things and contracting them. It's a young wine at 2020.
Yeah.
I think that this will... I don't see any age estimates, but... I think this thing would go at least another 5 to 7 years. Yeah, and I think it would benefit after... I think it would benefit from another 2 to 4.
Well, I think the front palate, the fruit would lean out a little bit and everything would be a little more transparent. A little more,
softened.
And be more... Transparent is not the right word. More visible.
This is like one of those really dark chocolate bars, right? Like where they have the high cocoa level, right?
Yeah.
And you know it's just a little bit too bitter for you, but you know there's value, that there's complexity, that you can taste all the different elements that you enjoy. It just needs a little time, right? Although chocolate doesn't need time, but you know what I mean.
Brenda, she was just a little too bitter for you. She needed more time, and you just weren't patient enough.
Who's Brenda?
You know who Brenda was.
I don't know who Brenda was.
Okay.
I'm not 64, so
just
I don't...
A little too bitter for you.
This reminds me, though, of dark chocolate all the way through. Just kind of the way a really good dark chocolate kind of melts and kind of emotes through your palate. And you can taste a lot of the elements that you would taste in this wine, too. And it has the same kind of mouthfeel that dark chocolate does as it melts in your mouth. And
yeah, the dryness.
Yeah. The astringency that's there, you know, it's all the similar to that. That's really, really nice.
That aftertaste of a dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, this is a very good emulation for that. If you had like a dark chocolate tart, right, that was a dessert, but how sweet is it? Like a Black Forest kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you had this wine, that would be excellent.
Yeah, like a. Sometimes you'll have a proper pastry chef do like a dark chocolate ganache, and it's almost lacking any sweetness whatsoever because they want that dry aftertaste of the dark chocolate to take you through the finish.
This wine is that.
Food pairing, I think this needs a fattier meat.
With some char?
Or some kind of slow-cooked chicken thigh dish.
Oh, God.
Go with chicken thigh. Oh, I love chicken thigh. You know,
no, this is too
braised in tomatoes with some big chunks of onion. Chicken thighs.
This is too big for that, Scott. That sounds delicious, mind
over
you.
The big wide over egg noodles. Ooh.
No, this is too dense for that. This needs
you're too dense.
One of two things. You could do a charred ribeye or a charred pork chop where you render the fat on both. And not medium quality, not average quality. I'm talking about really high quality. Because it wants that char. It wants that rendered fat. That's what this wants. It wants those things.
You know who's got a great appetizer now?
Hmm.
The Smoky Bones.
What?
They do a pork belly.
Oh, do they?
Chunks.
Yeah.
A nice sweet glaze. And it comes with a cucumber carrot vinaigrette-based salad.
So they're trying to make it Asian?
I don't know about that.
That's what they're trying to do.
But that's fine, because it's delicious.
But it's still Smoky Bones. What that? When were you in Smoky Bones?
My buddy went.
Did you eat there at 4 o'clock?
I can't wait to go.
Really?
I can't wait to go.
I haven't been in there in years.
I know, it's been horrible, but I'm going to go have that pork belly.
Oh, you haven't had it yet?
My buddy, who's not a big pork belly guy.
Yeah.
He had the pork belly appetizer, loved it. He's off their ribs now, but
Then you have to eat the rest of Smoky Bones.
No, you just get an appetizer and leave.
Just leave. You're like, I'm good.
Four of those appetizers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to douse it in like teriyaki sauce and fuck it up, man.
Service, and he liked one of the different style cuts of ribs, and now they've only got one cut of ribs. He liked.
It is bad service.
He liked St. Louis cut, I think.
Yeah. St. Louis how cut. The fuck that restaurant, maybe it's just that restaurant, but how that restaurant specifically stays in business with how bad a service it is. Yeah. Those people that work in there, last time I was in there, they were complete assholes. I mean, they were assholes. I would fire every single one of them if I were the manager. And, I mean, I don't know how they stay in business. I wouldn't go back there. I don't give a shit if they have fucking, you know, Jesus making pumpkin pie. They were that bad. I'm sure all those people were fired and, you know, dead now in a ditch in a mass grave somewhere. But
mass grave.
That's what it takes.
That's
man.
Inappropriate.
Not for the people I met in there. They die a very brutal death. But you know, it's not cinematic either. But that's okay. They were bad, Scott.
Okay.
But
it's not cinematic.
It's not going to be a cinematic death. No. That's cinematic. It's going to be kind of boring. But you end up in a ditch. You know. Okay. Just the way it is.
Okay.
I'm just saying. You can talk in the mic if you'd like.
Well.
Yeah, there you go. But still, you're still at Smoky Bones.
Yeah.
One of the worst restaurants on the planet.
They have pork belly. That takes them off the worst list.
You make it at home.
I don't think you make it that way at home.
Trust me, Scott. The chefs at Smoke, are you suggesting that anybody that has like three fingers between two hands can't make pork belly better than the chefs at fucking Smoky Bones. They have some sort of magical thing. Oh, they have a cucumber salad. Yeah, wow. You're That's so fucking amazing, man.
A 6 or 7 pound pork belly.
Yeah.
And chunk it into individual portions like that?
Yeah.
Individual bites?
You can do that. You can go to Costco and buy rashers. I mean, for $14 you do that.
That's a rasher. It's not a pork belly. That doesn't count.
If you're cutting it up, what, you don't know the difference, Scott. You go to you have your lovely Smoky Bones dinner. That'd be awesome, man.
I'll tell you about it.
You should live feed from that.
I'll send you the picture.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'll be at Hyde Park giving you the finger. It's this finger.
Hyde Park wasn't great that last time I did it last year.
Oh, but you're going to go to Smoky Bones? You're so discerning.
I'm just saying.
You're so elitist.
I had the chop steak and it was...
Oh, that's just stupid.
It was really good.
You're ignorant.
It was really good.
It is really good.
But it wasn't great.
It's great. But you're dumb. That's all right. You're going to go to Smoky Bones, Scott. Anyone's listening.
And I'm having pork
belly. All seven people are like, Scott, you're going to Smoky Bones. So just shut up. Sit down. Sit down, Karen. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Ken. Actually, you're Ken, aren't you? That's just dumb. I'm going to go to Smoky Bones. What, do you have a coupon? I got 40% off coupon for my pork belly, Smoky Bones. I'm going to have some pork belly, then I'm going to have St. Louis style ribs, yeah, because those suck. Why does he like St. Louis style ribs? He likes the shitty kind of ribs?
Oh, listen, ribs, you like whatever cut you like.
No, that's not.
I know people like beef ribs, and it's like, really?
Beef ribs are good, but.
See, that was you. I knew it was that person.
But it depends on how you make them. I mean, not all beef ribs are good, you know. But I don't like seek out beef ribs, I don't go buy a rack of beef ribs.
Nobody goes out and buys a rack of beef ribs. Nobody admits that they like beef ribs except you.
No. I bought the individual cut chops of beef ribs.
Gotcha.
From Costco's. From just because it looked cool and it was good.
I've used beef ribs to stew, to slow cook.
You're not going to. I'm going to make ribs. What are you making? Beef ribs. What?
Yeah, no.
No. Certain things just shouldn't be. I mean, the beef ribs, okay, whatever. It's not great. Beef bacon. Ellie liked it. I bought beef bacon many times. Ellie really likes it a lot.
You really better cook it perfectly for it to even be edible.
What's the perfect way?
Just getting it perfect, rendering that fat down perfect.
Well, I do that.
Beef bacon's not
good.
It's not.
It's more of a thing. Yeah, it's whatever. But
it's like,
you know who I bet has beef bacon? Smoky Bones.
Mm.
I bet it's really delicious. They probably have a new burger menu.
Somewhere at a barbecue that had beef bacon as an appetizer, and it didn't even look good.
Last time I was at Smoky Bones, which was probably 6 years ago, they had a new burger menu, which looked fantastic. We have a prime burger menu. It's prime cuts of a burger. Yes! That's ground beef.
It is. We have a bacon burger.
It's prime. It's not.
I think, didn't they have like a bacon avocado burger or something?
Everybody
like that?
Everybody has a bacon avocado burger.
I don't know.
TGIF Fridays has a bacon avocado burger.
Of course they do.
I mean, you know, Red Robin has one.
Well, Red Robin has every burger possibility in the world. The only pizza places
don't
have,
want any of them.
Don't have any toppings.
If my kids didn't love Red Robin, I wouldn't be at Red Robin. Let's be frank.
That's where Superstar took the kids on Sunday.
He's a brave man.
And they didn't order extra fries.
They don't offer them. You have to like demand them. There's another place. Really bad service. Red Robin.
I thought you liked the service at Red Robin.
Once out of every six times. Often it's not good.
It's never-ending fries that you have to ask for the extras?
Yeah. They don't bring them.
Mm.
Although Luke got apparently never-ending also applies to mac and cheese. Who knew? Why am I getting another mac and cheese? I don't fucking know. She just brought you one. I didn't know that was a thing because they don't tell you what's, you know, they don't want to. Yeah. It costs us too much money to give you your shitty fries. Okay.
Then don't offer all you can, never-ending fries.
I know. There was this... Yeah, I'm not going to say it. There was a family behind us, right?
Okay.
And they were in their 20s. They had a kid.
Okay.
And she was a young lady.
Okay.
Normal size, everything.
But the man.
He was a young man, and he was fat as fuck. This guy was, man.
He's a big boy. He'd been to Red Robins before for the never.
He'd been to Red
fries.
Robins several times. And he's not he's one of these guys that didn't look like he'd been heavy all his life.
Right.
It's just like he said, oh, I got married and I had a kid, so I put on the pregnancy weight. Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Apparently it did for
him. Quit eating Twinkies. Well, anyway, he was eating his baskets of fries.
You know, even
Twinkies. And he was on his goddamn phone the whole goddamn time. His wife is there managing her child, their child. And he's on his goddamn phone. It's like, and I'm there.
You know what would make the story worse?
What?
It's not his kid. They were on a date.
I think she could do a lot better. She was an attractive young lady.
Well.
And he was not.
She could have done better than him if they were married.
She likes him by the pound. She's got a lot. But this guy, man, it's like, dude. But I was there with my four children. Four.
Rebecca with you?
No.
You took all four of them on.
She was getting drunk in Columbus. That's another story. It's okay. That's all right. It happens, man. It is, man. It's fun and games.
It does happen.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, tonight's potpourri. Scott, you said you had a story to tell us.
Let's do some storytelling tonight.
Storytelling? Like once upon a time?
Once upon a time, there was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Goldilocks came up to Rob's house.
Is this a porno story, Scott? Because we don't need to hear that. Goldilocks was a kid, as far as I know. That makes it really bad.
Did you read the Grimm Brothers stories? There's nothing kids' stories about that
shit. But they're children, though, that you're talking about.
There was mayhem and murder.
And then Goldilocks, she hired a plumber to fix the plumbing, but she didn't have enough money to pay.
You've been watching.
So she had to come to another arrangement with the plumber. And, you know,
Wilfred, that's Pornhub. That's not the real story.
Well, that's what I saw.
Took a road trip recently. Was in Indiana for a couple days. They pissed me off. Pissed me off. Straight east down through Indy to the southern part of Indiana.
Okay.
First of all, the worst fucking roads ever. They make the roads in New York City and Chicago look great. You know why? Because they don't want any fucking taxes because they don't want to pay for anything. The worst roads I've ever been on in my life.
Okay.
Horrible. Pissed me off.
All right.
You know what else about Indiana? They're what? Fucking dumb.
You don't need to. We have a big contingent of fans in Indiana.
I know that. That's why I'm saying this. Some going home.
Mike Pence is a big fan, I hear.
Of you.
That's true. Him and his, what's the Pinot Grigio he likes?
Not a Pinot Grigio. Pagone. Pinzon.
No, what the hell is that he likes?
It was they make the Primitivo.
Yeah, and the King of Chianti.
The King of Chianti.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is.
It's the
corked King of Chianti.
So I'm going through a construction zone, and it's 70 miles an hour, and the speed limit drops to 65 miles per hour. And road construction sign, the orange.
Okay. Those are the laws. I'm sure that the
vexes. Merged left ahead.
Okay.
Another construction sign, drive okay. About a mile, another construction sign, 55 mile per hour speed limit, merge left ahead, 45 mile per hour speed limit, merge left ahead.
These are all reasonable things.
Except you get to the end of the construction site, it never merged left. There never was any construction. It just went straight back to 70 miles per hour. Fucking stupid.
Well, maybe you just were delusional and you imagine all that. I think that's true.
I'm delusional, yes.
Yeah.
It's possible I imagine things, not that. It pissed me the fuck off.
Well, I know it pissed you off, but you know a lot of things piss you off.
Mostly you.
Carnies piss you off.
I like carnies.
I know you do, Scott.
Some of my best friends are carnies.
Yeah, right. Like, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and there's 14 carnies missing. What happened to them? Scott's like, I don't know. Don't check my basement.
I thought I killed hookers is what I did.
And carnies. Some carnies hook on the side. What? Really isn't what you want, but if it's a Friday night and you haven't been in the right part of Columbus or it's raining, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
You're really not that discerning, are you?
Who, me?
You.
I'm just reading your memoirs. Wait, you wrote who? That. You wrote this.
I wrote all your jokes, right?
That's right. I didn't think it was a joke.
Didn't you draw it any said, penises?
Confession, and you put the date down. I'm reading your diary, actually, right now, strangely enough.
Diary confessions.
Well, I don't know. It was like the Red Shoes diary, but there's no red shoes.
Oh, there's no confessions.
And there was no real sex in the Red Shoe diaries. I always watched that because they thought it was porno. But it would like, you know, they'd be talking about their feelings for like 45 minutes, and you would see a side boob. It wasn't that great. It's terrible. Showtime. So that way you don't exist anymore because the Red Shoes diary.
Particularly what you wanted to see was a man butt.
Well, I would take a man. I'd take anything.
I'm sure you'd take it.
Anything. It's on like 11:30 at night. Now, Cinemax, I remember that. They got all sorts of crazy shit on there. It's really great. Yeah.
We've long chronicled the story of the in-ground pool at my house, 2 years in the making.
Yes, yes.
I went to get my hairs cut.
Pubic hairs?
At the Great Clips.
Oh, your head.
You know, you can check in on the app. It's really convenient.
Yes, yes, that's true.
I had a coupon, $9.99 for the haircut at the Great Clips.
I can tell you have a $10
haircut. No, what I've got is a $10 hair.
It looks like
it. Doesn't matter how much you pay for the haircut. It's like Mel Kiper has nice hair.
Rob the Wine Guy goes to the same place. Well, Sports Clips, but he pays $40.
It's just, what?
That's right. He tips.
Just the tip?
He gets a hand job, but that's okay.
Not at the Sports Clips, you don't.
Oh, well, it's a meth addict, but yeah, whatever. She's like, I used to have all my teeth.
Getting the haircut and talking about the pool, and yeah, it's water in it. And I thought about doing the polar bear plunge, but
naked.
Princess was away who would videotape it, plus I would die. And so
I'd videotape it.
Carrying on this conversation, and the other
floating upside down,
the other person working, and she's cut my hair before, scarily now, and she mentioned, you know, your story reminds me of a story of my friend's parents, and we're both like, okay, and she just jives right in. She's not cutting my hair. Mm. I've never had a hairdresser jive into my conversation when she's not cutting my hair, or he, but she dives in and she says, yeah. My friend's parents, they were on a boat, and they got into an altercation and a disagreement, and the wife, friend's mom, she couldn't swim. So when they were in the verbal altercation and pissed off my friend's dad, he pushed her in the water. The one who couldn't swim. Yeah. And how deep was it? Oh, it was deep. It was Buckeye Lake. They were on a pontoon boat, and he drove away in the pontoon boat and left her to drown. And she just walks away, and she's sweeping hair off the floor. Lady was cutting my hair, and we were both looking at each other like, what the fuck? And so she says, whatever the person's name is, she says, hey, did she make sure? Oh, yeah, she was fine. Pregnant pause, not telling us any more about the story. And she says, this is the best part. She says, you know, and come to think about it, she kind of deserved it. And we're like, oh, really? Why? He was probably making up for it for the time that she stabbed him in the back with a kitchen knife. So, I go to check out.
Is that where they give all the coupons? Yeah, try to get new people in.
The lady telling the story, she checks me out. And I said, hey, your friend's parents, how are they doing? Do they end up in jail? What's going on? Oh, no. They retired. They're in Florida. Now they're happy as larks.
Okay. Or they're both dead. And she fed him alligators.
You know, come to think about it. She probably deserved it from the time she stabbed him in the back with a kitchen knife.
That's not common, folks. Yeah, I never had that in mind. That's why I don't talk. That's why I just watch the screens when I'm in there. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Waiting for your imaginary hand job.
Well, you know, got to do what you got to do.
How about you? You got any stories for us this week?
I have no stories after that, no. I've got a story, Scott. It's more of a riddle. I don't actually, but you know. I could ask you this. What's the difference between a joke and three cocks? Remember that one?
No.
Now you can't take a joke.
Neither do our listeners.
Yes, that's right. Ha ha ha. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Bodegas Caro Amancaya Red Blend from Argentina, Mendoza specifically. Scott, where are you with this score? I just ordered two bottles a little bit ago, additional, so I'll have four bottles total.
I
have something else, and I don't recall what I ordered, but that's okay. I think it's for the show.
You probably deserved it.
I
took a kitchen
knife. I had to go over $50 for free shipping. Wine.com. Fuck you.
Short of three bottles.
I don't need five of those.
Okay.
We don't.
I'm going to channel my inner Becky and say this one is hard for me to score. I miss her being on the show. She used to say that all the time. She said that every review she ever gave.
Yeah, because it was.
Well, no. I think this is one that Malbec's not my favorite varietal.
Well, luckily, because there's only 40% of it, it shouldn't, you know.
I thought it's 60-40.
It's prominent, though, in this wine.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think it really is. We didn't play this game, but what would you be happy? Don't know anything about it. You just taste it blind. What dollar value would you put on this wine? It'd be more than $22.
Yeah, it'd be $45.
I was gonna say forty.
Yeah, double.
And that speaks well for it. And it really can be difficult to put scores on wines where you have to kind of overcome your. And it's not personal bias. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you really have to be, fair is a bad word. There's no such thing as fair in this world.
No. But
you have to be objective and take your varietal preferences into consideration, in my opinion, or you're not doing a professional job, doing what we try to do here. Make dick jokes and burying hookers and
who's making jokes
sex
about that?
Jokes the way Rob does. I'm going 91. Points. I really think this is a top 100 wine on the Wine Spectator that, regardless of how much advertising Domaine Chateau de Rothschild paid,
yeah,
they earned it with the wine.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's big. It has this wonderful combination of smoothness with it's kind of brutish.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's got this dichotomy of classiness about it. Kind of like husband pushing the wife off the freaking pontoon boat in for revenge for the wife stabbing him in the back with a kitchen knife. There's a contrast of the smoothness of the front palette with it's not rustic, but it's kind of got a brutish nature about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big wine. Well made. There's not a point of this that's out of step.
Yes.
A beautiful, beautiful wine. Beautiful in the glass. Nice nose.
Top flight wine.
One of my points.
And on to me. This wine, in its beastliness, is very impressive. It kind of reminds me of, remember Thomas Goss Shiraz? It had a beastliness to it, and we really responded to that. We never ordered it again, but we liked it.
We love a beasty Australian Shiraz.
Yeah, and that was that. And this wine kind of does, channels that in Argentina. Now, what I really, really like about this wine, a lot of the fleshy characteristics, the mouthfeel and whatnot, it's Malbec. It's a big, broody Malbec. We've had Malbecs that are just completely fantastic. And that Malbec is singing right there. Then I can taste it. I know where it's from. I know where it's coming from. And I love that. I love being able to pick out the varietal there. I'm going to give this wine 92 of my points.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it has a little bit of ageability possibility. Maybe. 5 to 7 years. 7 would be the high level. But I think 5 years... you're going to have something that's going to maybe evolve. You might have a little bit more complexity.
We talked about this when we first brought up the ageability. I really think with age, the front palate would become more open and you would mm-hmm. see the fruit more plainly and cleanly. And I think it would ease out and lean out a little bit, but I think you would maintain that tannic structure and the finish would probably become more voluminous.
And just so you know, folks, historically, this wine has had really good reviews. So, started off back in 2003, 92 from The Enthusiast, 04, 90 from Wines and Spirits, over 05, 92 from Wines and Spirits, 06, 92 from Wines and Spirits, 91 from Parker, 90 from The Enthusiast, 7, 90 from The Spectator, 90 from The Enthusiast, 9, 89 from Parker, 89 from The Enthusiast, 10, 91 from Parker, 90 from Enthusiast, 11, 90 and a 90 from Parker and Suckling, then 12, 90 from one from Suckling, 90 from Parker, 13, 93 from Suckling, 92 from Enthusiast, 90 from Parker, 14, 91 from Parker, going on and on, 90s every year. The 1994 from Suckling, 92 from Venice, 91 from Parker. Then this one being the 20, but the 19 got 92 from Suckling, and the 2021, 93 from Suckling.
Yeah, you know, consistency over those numbers, I think.
Yeah.
At one point in time, I think there's a transition where scores got higher.
Oh, could be.
That's where you see the Sucklings coming in at 92, 93. But still, you know, mm-hmm. year in, year out, they're putting it forward. They're asking for it to get rated, and it gets rated, and it does well.
Mm-hmm.
Winemaker knows what the fuck they're doing. Yeah, they make a lot of wine. They're a mass producer. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yep.
Not a sin. If you get it right, it's not a sin.
It just means there's more of it
to be
good.
We do downplay the larger producers. We do give them shit, the Mayomis and that of the world, but there's something to be said for a mass producer who gets it right.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Mayomi. You know, I call it the Bud Light of wine.
They don't get it right.
You know what you're getting when you're out and you order Mayomi. Maybe you should try other things, but Mayomi's always going to be the same. It's going to have a level of quality that you can count on. This is beyond that. This is really good wine, and shout out Domaine Rothschild.
And just so you know, under the Caro label, currently on wine.com, you have the Caro Aroma Malbec, the 2021, and it got a 93 from James, 91 from Parker, 90 from the Enthusiast. It's $20. You have the 19 Amakaya, this, and it got a 92 from Suckling, and it's $22. You have this wine, and then you have the 2019 Just Straight Caro, and it's a Bordeaux blend. It's collectible. It got a 95 from James, a 94 from Robert Parker, a 93 from The Spectator, and it costs $80.
Okay.
It's got the collectible label, though, so that's something that if you are into collecting things that are a little bit outside the norm, it's something you should try. We remember when we had Close Apata on the show?
Yeah.
And it sucked. It currently goes for, do you know how much?
I think it's on the price range, $22-$25.
It goes for $170. It's that thing that...
Oh, it's what Holly gave us.
Yes.
I was thinking of something else.
It was...
I was thinking of...
Yeah, the Close Apata, yeah, was not good. It was actually quite bad, we thought. And it's mostly Carmenier.
I wouldn't call it bad. It was just
not a great wine.
Yeah, it just wasn't
a great wine. Yeah. But this wine is a great wine. It gets in the Hall of Fame, and it gets the tip of the cap to the producer, Bodegas Caro.
I really respect large scale producers who do a good job. You know, it there's more than one craft about making wine.
True.
Mass producers, you could argue, have it harder.
Yep.
And when a producer like Rothschild gets it right, and it sounds like year in, year out, we don't know this bottle of wine. We've never had it before.
We're gonna try again.
We're gonna have it again, though. It's like Amakaya on a restaurant list. And I'm not for Malbec. I'm just not. But if I saw Amakaya, I might not remember the name, but I remember that label.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that label.
Yeah, for $48 a bottle at a restaurant.
Something.
Oh, yeah, that's what it'd be.
Something. And if you're a red wine drinker, you're going to like this.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to like this. And it's not 100% Malbec, but this wine is a Malbec-driven wine.
Well, some of the vintages are more Malbec-driven. This one is not. So.
But I think... if you want to try a good Malbec, even though this is a blend, give this one a shot.
Oh, no. If you're a Malbec lover, you have to try this one.
Or if you just want to try what is a good Malbec like.
Yeah.
And granted, it's a blend. This is a good representative. You're pulling Malbec out of this.
Well, the Malbec is very strong.
$22.
$22 for a great wine. So, with that, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.